said, it's your life. And Jesus asked him, you know what you're talking about? Oh yeah, of course we do. And then Jesus shows them in this gentle rebuke that if you're really true greatness is not what we make of greatness, but what God is and knows is great. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all. If you want to be first, you must become the slave of all. Remember in Luke 8 when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and they're really frightened. They think they're going to die and they can't want, and they're trying to figure out why Jesus isn't helping them bail, just like they're bailing crazily to try and preserve their lives. And Jesus wakes up and he rebukes the wind and he rebukes the waves. And then he looks at the disciples and he says, where is your faith? In other words, Jesus is saying, who are you trusting in more than anything else for your security, your happiness, and your safety, and your salvation? The same thing is true for us. And when we hear in our gospel lesson, Jesus rebuking of his disciples is because he knows that they're on the wrong path. The true path of life is just that, what God provides. And we see it in his word, we read it in his word, and that word is meant to accomplish its purpose, which is to transform us. This word is not meant just to be read, but it's meant to change lives. Internally first, and then outwardly as well. I mean, when we stop and think about the prayer of St. Francis, St. Francis understood that you can't straddle the fence regarding doing it our way and doing it God's way. Because our way is diametrically opposed to God's way as much as God's way is opposed to our way. Because our way, filled with all of its illusions, filled with all of its false pretenses, is not what God has us destined for. He has us destined for eternal life. And since he is the author of that life, he says, I must be followed. I must be followed. Therefore, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let them deny themselves. How can we deny ourselves when we're so interested in affirming ourselves? I mean, you stop and think about the Olympics and Michael Phelps and his great gold medal achievements. That's really astounding to see him with those kinds of accomplishments, unheralded in Olympic history. But this is not the kind of grandeur God's talking about. He's not talking about what we can accomplish ourselves, but rather wanting us to focus on what God is doing. So it's hard for us to deny ourselves when we're so busy trying to affirm ourselves. And one of the things, there's like three components to understanding what Jesus is saying. If you want to be my disciples, you must deny yourself. And one of those components is recognizing the reality. Number one, God actually loves you and me. This is not a philosophical construct. It's not wishful thinking. But God's relationship with you and me is extremely and very real. Think about the person you are most in love with. Now, if you're Jerry Seinfeld, that's yourself, but we're not going there. But think of the person that you love the most. And that's actual love, right? Now amplify that much more, and God actually loving each and every one of us. This is where sin has taken us, where we don't recognize the reality of God's true love for us. God really is in a relationship with us. Forget all of the religious filigree of this and that and the other thing. God isn't concerned about us being religious. Anyone can become religious, but what God is telling us, if we want to truly live and truly walk in His light of life, it's got to start by recognizing and then accepting the fact that God actually loves you and me. That's a very real relationship, folks. It's not mystical. Saint Francis understood it. When you think about the radical nature of his prayer, that pretty much says that. Saint Francis understood that God's love for him was more important than anything else in life. So learning to accept God's actual love for you and me is fundamental in terms of being one of Jesus' disciples. So where does that love lead us to then? Is that it leads us to the fact that, yes, we are sinners. And accepting that fact, and accepting the fact that we need the grace and mercy and love of God to give us life, we want to learn not to embrace our sin, which we do even inadvertently, but really and truly learning to hate sin and to hate what sin does in our lives in any and all relationships, in thoughts, in words, in actions. Because God has not committed us to a way of sin, but rather to the way of life. This is why we can't have it both ways. Jesus even tells us this. You cannot serve two masters. It will not work. And the longer we pursue the fact that we can have it both ways, we jeopardize and we actually then are ashamed of God and His Word. And God does not want us to be ashamed of He and His Word, but rather to embrace that which God has begun for us in our baptisms. And even before that, God's love was there for us before the world began. But the fact remains, folks, God actually loves us. He actually loves us. I'd like you to meditate on that powerful statement. Why do you think the first commandment is the first commandment? Because it's the most important commandment. If we don't understand the first commandment, all the others don't matter. But the first commandment is there to set the stage for realizing the quality and character of God's relationship with each and every one of us. I am the Lord your God. Trust me. Trust me. And I will give you life. That life is real. It is a reality. It is an actuality that we can recognize by the power of God's Spirit, not only in this life, but obviously in the next. But we have to learn to let God get us out of the way in order for us to wholly receive all that God is giving us. Notice I said, is giving us. He has been giving us. He is giving us. He will always be giving us. But His word is life. And the third component is then letting God's word shape us into the disciple God knows and wants us to be. What does St. Francis say as he begins his prayer? Lord, what is it? Make me an instrument of whose peace? Your peace, Lord. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. And then we see the contrast. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. And all of those words is the way and the will of God. Paul writes about it in his letter to the Galatians that we are to be his imitators. Because after all, it is God who has truly given of himself in order that you and I might live in his kingdom now and is in his kingdom together and in his kingdom forever. Paul puts it this way when he writes in his letter to the Romans. This is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Paul writes to his friends in Rome, "What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that our grace may abound? Well, of course not. How can we who have died to sin by the grace and mercy of God still go on living in it? How can we who have died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." The world needs love. Not just the way the world gives love, but the way that God gives love. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Amen. Okay, let's enjoy some more music this morning. Don't forget, if you know the melody, hum along with it. If you know the lyrics, sing the lyrics. You're welcome to do that.
Thank you.
Please rise as we join together in our confession of faith using the Apostles' Creed. The word is near you, on my lips and in my heart. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please, you may be seated. At this time, let's offer our gifts. And ushers, please, once the offering is collected, please keep the offering in the back this morning.
Discloses, and joy.